if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. Our seminar is, What Are You Feeding Your Mind? Mental intake determines your world view. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow that pure light that is your divine presence to fill and illumine your mind. See your whole mind flooded with illumination, brilliant, pure, white, divine light. Now see that field of conscious awareness flood down into your physical brain. And see the brain align with the soul purpose that you've come as an embodiment of the divine to fulfill through your physical instrument. See the brain filled with light and sparking, as it were, those interactions of cognition that allow the higher awareness to fire and fuel that cognitive brilliance throughout your field of understanding, your field of interpretation, and throughout your nervous system, the five senses that give you the feedback as you move through the different dimensions, including the physical. And see your whole body filled with light. You are the light. You literally are the light. This is the light of your omnipresence. You're not limited to the defined measurements of your vehicle, your physical vehicle. You are not limited to the content of your mind, which is simply conditioned by past experiences and present habits and old memories. And nor are you defined by where you sit in time and space. In absolute reality, you are omnipresent. There is no place throughout existence that you are not present. You're not limited by the contents of your mind and the relay of information and cognition of the brain. In highest truth, you are omni-awareness. You are the field of consciousness itself. And you're not even limited to the field of consciousness. You are all-knowing. And you have all power in highest truth. Now, in terms of relaying that down in through and to the subtle bodies and into the physical manifestation that you tend to identify with, which is just a tiny fraction of who you are, and that's the physical body with its brain and the mind. The whole purpose of illumining the mind is to bring it from illusion to truth, from darkness of ignorance to light, and from the illusion of death to the reality of present immortality. So illumining the mind with the light of reality is the sole purpose of all spiritual practices. This is the work that we must do as individuals, as jivas, as embodied individuality in time-space. This is the work that we must accomplish by personal effort. And to undertake that effort, you have to be at that point of spiritual maturation to where you really want to awaken, to where you really have pretty much used up this three-day fair that we call life in the third dimension. You pretty well have been there, done that, gone on all the rides, eaten at all the carnival stands, metaphorically speaking. And now the one thing that really motivates you is to move into reality. A reality so exquisite that we only have tastes of it here. Because the moment we fully awaken, this whole thing vanishes. With full illumination, all of the universe and the world we dream we see around us simply dissolves in pure light. So I've had many, many states where I've been brought to that place where everything simply dissolved in light. And I realized that to continue doing the radio shows, to continue working with people, helping them to awaken, I need to keep my vibration just below that state. Because when it gets too high, everything is simply God. Everything is simply pure light and love. And so we who are, let's say, in the mode of teaching and imparting these keys to higher awareness, we have to learn to live and set the, let's say, the dial to where we can transmit at a vibration that will be helpful, hopefully, truly helpful, as we fulfill our dharma of communicating. These teachings, which before were given in caves and ashrams and by sacred, secret oral traditions only. It has only been since 1975 that the teachings began to be given through radio. And now today, through very few television shows, I think our sister Oprah has opened the door for the dialogue of the soul so that we can see and communicate as soul rather than simply as the ego. And so we thank our sister Oprah Winfrey for her Super Soul Sundays and the platform she has created for the dissemination of truly mystery school teachings and bringing to us people from various disciplines of spiritual practice and understanding to share with us. And so in a way, the ministry that this instrument is serving is part of that group of us that have been, let's say, ordained by Spirit to be the speakers and the writers and the teachers and the mentors to bring to conscious awareness these sacred teachings. So in this seminar, we want to look at what we're feeding our mind, because what we are feeding and putting into our mind is what is transmitting and projecting the worldview that we live in. So literally, the mind is the predominant influence in the way we experience life, in both the physical as well as in the more subtle dimensions of existence. And in terms of intake, everything that we take into ourselves at whatever level, we could consider that as food that we're consuming. And this would include everything we see, hear, smell, taste, and feel. But know that each of the five senses in the physical also continue with us in the subtle bodies in ever more rarefied form. And so in terms of our intake here in this world, everything we take in through our five senses adds its quality and its vibration to either increase our truth or darken our understanding. So we're always either advancing or falling back to old momentums. But a truly progressive, spiritual, alive manifestation is one of constant change. I would hope that you don't have the same beliefs today that you had last year. I mean, really look and see if that's so for you. Because if you try to live your life out of a book, even a holy scripture, or somebody else's experience, or someone else's interpretation, or information that's channeled to you by another entity other than your own intuitive knowing, you don't awaken. That's secondhand. That's outsourcing. No more can you derive the nutrition from somebody else eating the meal. You yourself have to directly experience and see and hear and smell and taste and feel your own reality, your own existence. Because I tell you a truth, when you awaken, you'll find you're all that is. There will be no other. There will only be the one self that is every self. So we see what we believe. Truly, believing is seeing. believing comes before seeing. And we will always see and experience and manifest whatever we believe is so. So quite literally, our world is composed entirely of our beliefs. And I'm speaking of our third dimensional experiential human level world. So look carefully at what you believe and begin to drop the belief and move to the direct experience, which alone will give you the knowing. Whatever you have not experienced is not real for you. It just simply is not real until you've actually experienced it. So you start, as always, with where you are right now. What is your reality, your world that you live in right now, right this very second? And that world, be aware, is determined by what you place in your mind, moment by moment, and what you've imported as beliefs from without. So whatever you are feeding your mind, that is what you will be seeing within yourself, in the waking state, the dream state, in visions, and in the world, as the world. So to feed is to fuel and foster, to increase and strengthen. And we see through the veil of whatever state of consciousness we are resonating with at the moment. And as you know, that changes, doesn't it? Because the psychic field, which includes the mind and the emotions, is very unstable. That's how you can tell it is not based on absolute truth, which is permanent, eternal, and unchanging. So if it changes according to time and place and circumstances, you know it's a conditioned state that needs to be awakened beyond impermanence. The nature of the psychic field is instability. That's why you can't hold one thought, more than one thought, at the same time. The average person can barely concentrate for a few minutes before the mind wanders. I'm not talking about the initiate. I'm talking about the average person. Their mind's all over the place. You can tell that by how they speak. They jump like frogs from one topic to another. They ask many questions, but they never pause to really consider an answer. They Google it and are satisfied with superficial answers, but answers that never really give them rest in knowing. You got to do some digging deep down inside your own consciousness if you want to tap the living water of spirit, which when you tap it, you will no longer thirst after the things of this world. You just lose the thirst for superficial, temporary, passing, fleeting experiences. And so, those of us who are the initiates and the conscious light bearers on this planet, pay attention to how your consciousness moves throughout your day. How your mood changes, how your thoughts change. Be aware that these are like currents of collective conditioning that flow through us, but they only get caught in us where we have attached ourselves in some way to that. Attachment truly binds us karmically. And so we learn to live in the surrendered, yielded state, allowing the Holy Spirit to source through us. Which once you've experienced that, and you learn the keys to flowing with that, which means you let go of attachments to beliefs and points of view and opinions and things you thought you knew. Because the more you enter into this field of omni-knowingness, the more you realize that you know like a tiny, tiny, tiny grain compared to all of the sands throughout existence of reality. So that's why they say that the beginning of true wisdom is to realize you know absolutely nothing and understand absolutely nothing. And it's that openness and that humility that perhaps allows some of that great truth to begin to flood illumination into the mind and into the understanding. And then you become very humble within yourself and very silent, because you realize that everyone is at a state of opening that is appropriate for them. And in a belief system or a religion or a way of life that is appropriate for them, and you need not interfere with that. That is their business. And you cannot awaken someone from without. So when I speak to you, if any of you resonate with what I'm sharing, it is only because you have that knowing within you already, and I'm simply bringing it to your conscious awareness. I cannot give you what you don't have already. And you can't lose what you've been always and eternally. So when we talk about any kind of growth or becomingness, we're simply talking about illumining that which changes with the truth so that the changeable dissolves in the unchanging. We're exchanging, let's say, molecules of one dimension into that which subsumes them at a higher level. Everything gives way and sacrifices itself to the level higher. That principle of divine sacrifice, which is really an exchange of the worthless for the truly worthy and worthwhile, that practice goes on at each level. We release what was, we accept emptiness, and we allow that which is greater to come and fill the void. But when you're in the void, it feels like you've lost everything. It's dark, it's scary, and you feel empty. But that's always just preceding the next infilling, so you must be very patient. Know, too, that everything in life has its cycles. You will have a cycle, for example, where you go to school and cram and study and cram and study, and then you have a time of vacation, don't you? So our incarnations are like that as well. You might have an incarnation where you just are really cramming, really filling yourself. And then the next incarnation, you're busy sharing the infilling, which would be like me in this lifetime, where I'm giving of what I've been preparing for lifetimes. And then you will have a lifetime or two where you're just absorbing and integrating and refueling and recharging and resting. Those are lifetimes in which very little happens outwardly. So don't go judging yourself if you have a very quiet, non-phenomenal outer life right now. You may be in that period of integration, absorption, refueling, and preparation for your next incarnation, which I can tell you with 100% certainty will be magnificent, because you'll be reincarnating in the golden age with Prema Sai Baba. What could be wrong about that? And if you're listening regularly to these programs and really benefiting by them, you would qualify if you're really doing the work. But then I'm speaking to people who are well progressed on the spiritual path. Many of you are teachers in your own right. Many of you are mentors and wayshowers, writers, artists and communicators. And so we have come to be wayshowers, a vanguard of a new state of consciousness and awareness that we are practicing. And it is a practice, because every day we have to implement and act out the truths that we are beginning to awaken to. The illumination has to shine somehow through the physical vehicle and its words and its writings and its thoughts and its impact as it moves through its environment. So what are you feeding your mind? Because what you are seeing reveals the state of consciousness that you happen to be in at that moment, and the state that you are seeing from. So stay in the witnessing observer. Stay in that mode and just simply notice what you are seeing as you move through the day. Learn to live above your actor, the actor self that you are in time space. Learn to live just above that actor, so that you hear when you're, listen when you're speaking. Listen to the words coming out of your mouth. Don't go unconscious to your experience. Witness it. Notice what you tend to notice in the people you encounter. What do you notice in people? What draws your attention from moment to moment? What does your mind tend to dwell upon when you're simply wool gathering or daydreaming? Not a good idea to do that, by the way. It's a bad habit. Why? Because the thoughts in the mind, even if they are not focused, are always creative. You cannot exercise your mind at all that it does not create form. And then you're responsible for that creation. That's why disciplining, purifying, training the mind is everything. It is everything on the spiritual path. It simply must become illumined by the light of higher awareness, or it gives you endless trouble. It creates karma, because the mind is made of the warp and woof of desires and expectations and hopes and wishes and plans. One of my friends passed away last month. And when I went on the other side to help him make that crossover, to get him adjusted on the other side, he He kept saying, but I had plans. I wasn't expecting this. I had plans. Kept saying it over and over again. And I thought, oh dear, poor fellow. Because those plans mean he will have to come back in another lifetime to fulfill them. And he was an initiate that had the opportunity of not having to reincarnate again. But you see, if you have a desire, that's what causes rebirth. So we have to channel our desires to seeing, to the light, to illumination, to God consciousness, to soul awareness. Otherwise, we're bound back to the world. So, what does your mind dwell upon moment by moment each day? Pay attention. Pay a special attention to your first thoughts upon awakening, the mood of the consciousness. Train yourself to be awake during your sleep time and notice what you're doing on the inner planes. Because you can awaken in that level and realize that you're continuing on, very likely, with what you tend to do throughout the day. If you're an awakened spiritual traveler, a person who is consciously practicing moving in the inner awareness through the various dimensional points of view, you'll be aware that you do that work all the time. You're always serving. You're always teaching. You're always imparting light or healing or whatever it is that you do. So make use of practicing awareness in the daytime, which is a daydream, in the nighttime, in the night dream, so-called, and in the point in between, and train yourself when you go to sleep at night, this is very important, to try to hold to conscious awareness as long as you possibly can and watch yourself fall asleep. Notice that your body falls asleep and you stay awake. Notice that you never sleep as a spiritual person, as a spiritual essence of consciousness. You never sleep. The yogis go into an in-between state called nidhyasana or nidra. It's where you're neither awake nor asleep, but you're in between. And so they're always a little awake. I tend to be in that state most of the time. I'm aware, usually. Sometimes I fall into deep, deep, deep sleep and I'm not aware of anything. But I think that's probably when I'm working in another universe or another reality where there's just nothing you can translate back into this dimension that would make sense at all. And so if you find yourself doing that, that's fine. Because I noticed beyond a certain point, in the process of initiation, there is a point when you no longer have phenomenal experiences at all, and you tend to go into that absolute state in which there is no, as my teacher told me inwardly, there's simply no way you can translate those levels into the conscious mind. So if you're one of those people that closes your eyes and you're out, completely out, gone, finished, that may be the case with you. And as I say, I've experienced both states. So I just experience what I experience and take notes and keep my spiritual eyes open, which is probably the best approach that we can all take. So when you are able to cross over from the waking state through to the dimensions that normally you're unconscious in when you're asleep, you began to dissolve that fear that haunts most of humanity, which is the fear of death. But falling asleep and dying are identical experiences. The only difference is that when you go to sleep, normally, at night, you're attached by your umbilical cord, which is the astral silver cord, connects your astral body to your physical body, and you come back to your physical body as soon as you remember it. With death, that cord is snapped. And then, of course, you don't come back to this body. You move into, usually, your astral body and continue on with your life at another level. You're still the same person, and you don't lose yourself. You don't cease to exist. So make every possible attempt that you can to remain conscious as you fall asleep and watch that process. And that will convince you that you're not your body. That will dissolve the fear of death. And, you know, keep practicing until you attain what's called continuity of consciousness. So the mind consists of all your sensory intake. And so let's look at what we are feeding the mind. What are you focusing your attention on? And how do you see the world? Pay attention that these are linked. What you're focusing your attention on every day, and how you tend to view the world. How are you interpreting the events going on in the world? And again, what you're focusing on in your daily life and believing about the world is going to be coloring your interpretation of the events going on in the world. For example, if you spend all of your time watching the news with all of the unpredictable and negative and shocking things that are happening every single day, seemingly, how does that affect how you see the world? Are you going to see a world that's filled with love and the presence of God? If you spend all of your time feeding your mind with the news, with what's happening in the outer world, with the awful things happening to people? I mean, really. So you have to ask yourself, what part is seeing and interpreting? What part of you? Is it the ego or the divine self? If it's the ego, it's a false self, and it's going to show you a false version of the world. Well, the world is a false version to begin with. Because again, if you're seeing it out of the divine self, you're only going to see the light of reality. I'll give you a clue here. If you are afraid, paranoid, insecure, defensive, feeling helpless and victimized in a dangerous and scary, unpredictable world, who would be seeing that? Would that seeing be through higher awareness? Of course not. That worldview that is presenting itself as so scary, in which you feel so helpless and afraid, would be seen through the lens of the ego. But bear in mind, the ego is fed and fortified by fear and drama.
So egos love the bad news. They love the gossip. They love the slander. They love the embroilment. He said, she said, they said, they did. That's the fodder of the ego. It loves its fearful dramas. So let me ask you, what kind of world have you created for yourself? You know, take a look and be very honest with yourself, because no one is keeping score but you. What kind of world did you and are you creating for yourself? Did you know that you alone have full editing and re-scripting rights? Nobody else has that authority but you. The soul, the divine being that you are, you alone have full editing and re-scripting rights. Your world is yours to adjust. But to adjust it, you must change your beliefs about it. Yeah. When you see things differently, things appear to you differently. So you can always change your mind. So what do you take into your mind? Big clue. What you've taken into your mind is what comes out of your mouth. I can be with a person for just a few minutes before I can tell exactly the state of consciousness they're in at that moment. Whether they're in that ego state, or they're actually speaking through the higher consciousness, which I unfortunately would have to say is extremely rare. It's the old saying that very young souls talk about themselves. Souls that are a little bit more mature talk about others. But the souls that are truly awakening talk about principles and higher realities. So, listen to what's coming out of your mouth when you're on the telephone, when you're having conversation as you go through your day. What is your conversation with your children? With your partner? What do you read? What do you watch on TV? What do you focus on? Pay attention to what you are taking into your consciousness. Again, a clue. It's what you think and talk about all day and act out as your belief through your behavior. So what do you think and talk about all day? And what are you acting out of your belief? Your beliefs, I should say, through your behavior. So state of consciousness is always consistent with behavior. Always. Always. A person will always act out in their day what their consciousness state is. And until you're fully illumined and that consciousness is flooded with light and it's gotten down into your mind and into your brain and into your behavior, you're still fluctuating, kind of like a kite on a windy day with every breeze and draft causing it to float and flood all over the place. You're not centered, you're not stable. But that will come as you make your eye, your focus, your intention, your mind single. So let's start with your life. Do you enjoy your life as it is right now? Are you contented? Baba says there is no happiness greater than contentment. Or are you wishing and wanting for somebody or waiting for somebody outside of yourself or out in the world to change your life, for it to be better in the future? Many people are waiting for the rapture. Do you know the rapture simply means to be caught up in higher awareness? But they have an understanding that somehow they're going to be caught up in the air to be with Christ. And everybody else is going to be left to suffer hell on earth at the hands of the Antichrist. Do you know, ever since that one or two verses were written by John, I believe, in a vision in a cave, there have been so many people that fingers have pointed to, oh, that's the Antichrist, that's the false prophet, as if they were really waiting for the Antichrist and the false prophet, because then the Lord would appear and take them out of the world. People, wake up. Those things are not to be taken literally in third-dimensional, very human-level understanding. Probably the teachings of the transfiguration and the glorification and the Christification of consciousness is the most esoteric teachings in the world that are alluded to in the New Testament, but can only be understood by an initiate who is actually going through the transfiguration, which occurs with the enlightenment of the consciousness and the mind, which you're speaking about. Do you really, let me ask you, do you really, really, really want a world? Or just about everyone is damned to hellfire and eternal damnation? And a few people are shot up in the air? Come on, be real. What's happening is a gradual illumining of the consciousness, which indeed becomes one of pure light and compassion and love. That is the Christ. That is the reappearing of the Christ within each person. But if you go by allegories in a book that's written necessarily in code because of the persecution at the time, and try to make it very third dimensional, you're caught up in a belief system which is one extremely negative in its outcome for most of the people on the planet. And you have people living out of these ideologies fabricated out of books that are not understood in a higher level of consciousness. They're taken out of context and trying to make a world fit that, so that they're paying more attention to the Antichrist, more attention to the false prophets, more attention to the sinners and the evildoers than they are to the presence of the living God that dwells within every heart. What are you paying attention to? What worldview are you fostering? Because if it leaves anybody out, It's come from the ego. If it omits everyone but you and a handful that believe like you do, it comes out of the false self. It comes out of that nasty little ego that doesn't care about anybody else but what it can get. During my years when I was involved with the charismatic Pentecostal church movement, I had a lot of conversations with a few pastors that were close friends of mine, and I said, do you really, honestly, truly believe that a loving God would judge and condemn a soul to eternal damnation? Do you really believe that? And if people don't believe a certain theological, doctrinal point of view, that they're going to go straight to hell when they die? And every one of those pastors said, you know what? Deep in my heart, I really can't reconcile that with a loving God. And I said, you know what? If you truly believe that, you wouldn't eat, you wouldn't sleep, you'd be out evangelizing 24 hours a day nonstop to save souls if you believe that a single soul would be damned to eternal hellfire and torment. And he said, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't rest. I would be out evangelizing 24/7. So please, people, do your own homework. Don't fabricate your life out of a belief system, a doctrine, a theological, secondhand, somebody else's words, somebody else's experience. Get into your life. But know that it's a win-win for everyone, or it's a fail-fail for everyone, because everyone is an incarnation of one divine spirit, one supreme Atma, one I am that I am, is the I am that is every single person. And that is holy. And that remains forever as God created it. And no more than a cloud passing before the sun, to your little dark clouds of belief and doctrinal interpretations, affect the sun and divine glory that shines regardless of the clouds that pass before it. So all these passing thoughts and these interpretations that are not based on your actual experience, get rid of them for heaven's sakes. They're not serving you. If they're against any single person on the planet, they're against you. Because Jesus the Christ said that whosoever does anything to the least of these, the least of these, in your estimation, not in God's, does that to me, so the living God is in that homosexual. The living God is in that person that's transgendered. The living God is in that person of every race, every creed. The living God is in the members of ISIS. The living God is in every place you look, in every person you see. There is no other. So whatsoever you condemn in that person, I can promise you 100%, you will have to come back and embody as that, because you judged it. And when you judge another, you condemn yourself to have that experience, so that you can learn to judge not, lest ye be judged. For the same degree that you dole it out to another, in that same degree, it will be doled out to you. So make it not an option, if you would be free, to judge anyone else. Because when you do, you are then acting as the Antichrist. What is the Antichrist but the spirit of division and hatred and hostility and judgment and condemnation and criticism and mean-spiritedness and backbiting and spite and slander? That is the spirit of the Antichrist. The Christ is love. It's anointed, pure love. Consecrate yourself to that. Make your whole life serve that. Make your mind serve that. Discipline your mind. Check it. The Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit will check you the instant you have a critical thought. The instant you say something against another. Boy, is the karma swift. That Holy Spirit will jerk you as if you had a bridle and a curb bit in your mouth. So ask the Holy Spirit to hold a tight rein on you just like that, and to keep it tight so that you walk straight to God. And to walk to God, you must walk in loving, because no other path will take you Godward or homeward but love. Just put blinders on and refuse to see anything but God's holiness in each person. And souls must have the experience that they are having. You are not to judge. Every soul has to have the experience they're having, because that's part of their growth, that's part of their learning, that's part of their developing compassion and unconditional love. So look for the good, the praiseworthy, the pure, the innocent, the divine, in all people, of every kind of behavior, and leave the rest to God. It's not been given you and me to judge. We don't see the full picture. And I lived for a long time with someone who could see the full picture, the avatar Satya Sai Baba. He alone could see the very beginning, the very ending, and everything in between. And you know what? He would say, past is past. From this moment on, be good. Be divine. Live in love. God is love. Love all. Serve all. So go through life with the attitude of being a servant. Be humble and sweet and kind and gracious, even when you don't feel like it. That's part of your self-discipline. That's part of your illumination. Because the more you awaken to truth, the more you will realize that everything is God. There's nothing else but God. God is in everything you see. God is in every single molecule of existence. You live and move and have your being in God. There's nowhere to go. You're in God all the time. God is in your mind. God is in your mouth. God is in your senses. God is in your entire being at every level. And God is love. be love and set yourself free and train every level of your personality to serve love, to be a disciple of love, to be an emissary of love. And that's how you feed your mind. Feed it with loving thoughts. Feed it with loving thoughts. So when you decide that love is all you want to see, and you believe that, that's one belief, that's a good one, then love is all you're going to experience. And you're simply not going to have any interest in participating in anything else. You're just not going to participate in it because it's not real to you. It's just not real. And the more you love, the more peace and contentment and happiness and fulfillment you will experience. And you'll find that it is so fulfilling that you no longer thirst for the things of the world. You're no longer interested, for the world, for you, has dissolved into the luminous presence of the one holy love that is all that is. So I hope this has been helpful to you. I bless each one of you through all the lineages of spirit that this instrument carries, the great Avatar Sai Baba, the great Lord Jesus Christ, the great Buddha, the great world teacher, Lord Maitreya, the great mystical traveler lineage, and my teacher, John Roger. The present traveler, John Roger, has appointed John Morton, and all the divine line of authorities in which I do God's work in this world. I bless you with their love and the love that they have awakened within me. Let's go out chanting one on I, you. Deep breath. Blessings and divine grace. Namaste.